Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Wednesday, July 20th, 2011, and this is the first live show I've done in about a month. Wanted to do a little explanation this evening just before we get into the very exciting topic of the Birther Summit. And then we'll go from there. I've had a couple of family issues, both personal health and other family issues, so I've been away and in the hospital and out of the hospital and so forth, but everything seems to be doing well now, and we're all moving forward. This is going to be a very interesting show tonight, and I wanted to give a little background. Obviously, this show has been on the air, I think, for more than a year, maybe 2 years. My blog has been up since 2009, but all of us have been blogging since, you know, early on, even earlier than 2008, regarding the constitutional crisis we're in with respect to Obama. And we have had no one standing up for this issue. Congress is completely complicit. Look at what has happened. We had the whole fraud. We had Nancy Pelosi essentially fraudulently misleading every state in the union. We had violation of the rules and procedures of the Democratic National Committee. We had left the vetting up to the parties and up to the honesty of the candidate, and we got none of that properly. He was fraudulently sworn in. The oath was intentionally blown, as far as I'm concerned, to at least try to limit the damage done through plausible deniability. And since January 20th, 2009, he has been on a crusade. Obama's been on a crusade. I guess that's the wrong word. He's been on a mission to destroy America. Gradually, we have awakened. Gradually, the public has become aware of the problem of Obama's eligibility, and yet still no one is working on it. We have all these excuses about the politicians. They don't want to do anything about it because they're afraid blacks will riot in the street, not understanding at all that the thinking that blacks will riot is such a racist statement and shows a lot about what all of these people think about people of color, is that we're only tools to be used when it's convenient. So, well, the New World Order, good evening, folks in the chat room. Yeah, the New World Order is part of this because we believe that Obama is essentially beholden to all of them. There's so much misinformation about, and there are so many what I would call, I don't know, controlled opposition or assets to be used to disrupt any kind of opposition. We've got Janet Napolitano labeling everybody in the country as domestic terrorists. Pretty soon there's going to be nobody else left. We'll all be in jail. So this is a very serious situation. I agree with you, Bob, in terms of basically BS. So let me start for a second, say good evening to everyone in the chat room. Hi, Arizona Conservative. Haven't seen you in a while. Glad you're here. Bob, of course, and the four guests that are here, and Nancy, great to see you. So, so much has happened. I have to admit there is a little bit of exhaustion here, as this has been the birthers, this has been what has happened to the birthers. So we've been chased, we've been ridiculed, we've been intentionally exhausted to try to drown our voice out. Personally, I've been writing about many other things and feel like I'm very grateful for those who have stepped up to the plate and begun to do some writing about this. Jerome Corsi, of course, we owe a great debt to getting that out, but look at that birth certificate that was put out. No one has gone after it. Now, there are those who feel that there's a whole lot of drama and intrigue going on behind the scenes, and that both Republicans and Democrats are finding ways to remove Obama. Well, I just don't believe it, and I won't believe it until I see it. So, as we know, none of the presidential candidates have said anything about this. I put a post up in my blog today, which is an open letter to the presidential candidates. And, of course, they're not going to do anything. So we'll see what happens. You could tell I've been a little rusty on the live radio show, so my apologies as I get back to the whole radio piece. Jerome Corsi now is beginning to write about all the OBOTs who are embedded in the administration coordinating efforts to trash the birthers. And we have adopted that name, of course, for the summit because we're not going to be afraid of this name anymore. Okay, I'd like to read, if you will, a terrific article that came out on the Birther Summit. I think you have seen the website. It's birthersummit.org, and there is a lot of planning going on right now for that effort. So let's start with an article in the Sonoran newspaper, Sonoran News. Conservative Voice of Arizona by Linda Bentley. The Birther Summit draws line in the sand for America, which is true. A group of well-informed people who have done vigorous research into President Obama's lack of constitutional eligibility to hold the office, his forged birth certificate, fraudulently created selective service registration, and use of a stolen Social Security number, have teamed up to organize the Birther Summit March 28th through 30th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. Oh, hi, Nisi, and hi, everyone there. Okay. Americans have been contacting their representatives in Congress for the past 3 years to address what this group considers the biggest fraud ever perpetuated upon our nation, only to have their concerns fall on the deaf ears of not just elected officials, but our judiciary as well. Rather than holding a summit to listen to elected officials say what they think their constituents want to hear, summit organizers say it's time these unresponsive career politicians be confronted by we the people in person. This is going to be in Washington, D.C., this meeting. We've got some interesting stuff in the chat room for anyone who's listening this evening about who these people really are and what has gone on. I do want to acknowledge, of course, not only the terrific work that people like Susan Daniels and Douglas Vogt and all the attorneys who have worked on this case. There is just simply no option that we have but to continue on pushing this item, every other policy item through which everyone wants to get at Obama is just certainly not going to work. So here we are. Rather than holding a summit, here we go. According to Dean Haskins, who is our guest this evening, executive director of the Birther Summit, the event is traditional America reclaiming her foundation, ridding herself of rampant corruption in Washington, and removing an illegal occupant of the White House. An illegal occupant of the White House. This is what we have. Everybody up there knows it. They are not doing one thing about it. Barack Obama's ineligibility is our line in the sand, says Haskins, who calls Obama merely a symptom of a much more sinister disease, which he defines as corrupt federal government. I would also add New World Order infiltration of the fifth column of the Muslims, the burrowing in of federal employees who move from political appointments to civil service positions. Once we get Obama out, we're going to have to go through every single federal agency and root out essentially the communists and those who have burrowed in. The group didn't spend much time debating the name of the Birther Summit, agreeing it's a pejorative pin to a topic readily recognized by all. And by embracing the Birther name, they have destroyed the ability to use the name for Saul Alinsky-style ridicule. Haskins goes on to say, regardless of one's political bent, how one feels about Barack Obama as a person, or one's belief about Barack Obama's eligibility to be president, this debacle should make one thing very clear. The Congress has positioned itself outside of its constitutional role and purpose, and is not only governing against the will of the people, it refuses even to acknowledge the people at all. Allowing this nefarious band of reprobates to continue refusing to properly resolve this constitutional catastrophe they created will be the death knell of America. Their next assault on our Constitution and heritage will be that much harder, if not impossible, to stop. For that reason, every American citizen who is opposed to the current overthrow and destruction of the America we have known and loved should consider the current eligibility scandal to be a crucial moment in our history, and should understand that the birthers are not the lunatic conspiracy theorists the political left and its ancillary national media have painted us to be. We are merely Americans who have drawn a line in the sand and are telling Congress that we are no longer going to accept its criminal assault on our Constitution and way of life. Haskins invites all Americans to attend the Birther Summit in March proudly embrace the birther moniker and its line in the sand. If that line in the sand continues to be crossed with impunity, Haskin believes it is likely it's the last line we'll ever be able to draw. He stated, "We are Americans. We are the Birther Summit, an event that will enhance and unify all individual eligibility efforts." And this is important to understand, that it is not now a matter of who can come up with the best anti-eligibility argument, or who is the best lawyer, or who has the most eloquent way of talking about this. We all know that this is an issue. We must put aside our egos. We must put aside our desires to be the, quote, leader and move forward with this effort. Okay, let me take a look here. Yes, you know, when we talk about how deep this crisis is, we have to go way back. We have to go back to the 100-year assault on our country, if even more. You know, I pin a lot of stuff to the Federal Reserve and the fraudulently ratified 16th Amendment. Those two items in particular brought us war, famine, bankruptcy, disaster, one disaster over another. The people who made their money with that Federal Reserve system and others used it to basically corrupt our educational system. It is so deep right now that it can be overwhelming. And that's the point. They want to make it overwhelming. They want to basically for us to give up, either give up and or revolt. I do believe it still is a very dangerous time, whether Obama is being undermined from within or by his own New World Order handlers. We don't have any idea what the scope of what's going on behind the scenes is. We really don't. I think the only thing that we can continue to do is bring attention to this and keep our voices strong. We have to light the fires of liberty all over the country. And I want to say that in the, as you know, in the broadest sense, not lighting fires and burning down the country, it's the lighting the fires of liberty and the hearts and minds of people at one time. So a couple of other things I just wanted to mention that were kind of interesting. In 2008, you know, we had an election that really never was in 2008 because we had two ineligible candidates that we had to choose from. One of my readers did some interesting research to find out if both Obama and McCain were ineligible, and so were their vice presidential candidates. And, in fact, we elected somebody else in 2008. If you go through all the states and find out who ended up in third place, guess who our president is? It's Ralph Nader. So I might be doing a post sometime soon about President Ralph Nader, which is interesting, but we've got to move. We're in a very dangerous situation right now because we've got everybody playing against each other. The entire Republican field, in my view, is worthless and is intended to let Obama win. So not happy about this situation at all. In any case, I'm pleased to welcome our guest, Dean Haskins, this evening. Dean, you are live. Welcome to Revolution Radio. I'm so glad to hear you again.
Thanks, Kate. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sort of recovering from a whole bunch of things. And as you know, I've been struggling to try to write something simple, and I never can do that. So I hope that my contributions have been useful to the Birther Summit.
Absolutely.
But Dean, I wanted to just, you know, first of all, congratulate you on your fortitude in moving this forward. And I'd really like to have you just have this evening, as you will and as you wish, to let us know what brought you to the Birther Summit, who's engaged, what kind of things you see, and in particular, wanting to find out what preliminary reactions you're getting from these scoundrels we call congressmen and senators. So there you go. Let us know how you got here, Dean, and I'll let you take it away from there.
Well, of course, you know, anyone that's followed any of the articles I've written knows that, you know, I was doing a series of articles where I would write to to different congressmen and get their responses that I knew in advance with most of them what they were going to be. But then I would write articles based on their responses just to demonstrate to the public how out of tune our members of Congress are with the people. That most of the, well, not most of the time, all the time, when you write a letter about this issue, the letters that we write are never read by the people that we're sending them to. They're handled by staffers who respond with nothing more than a form letter. And I was trying to point that out, and it just, well, probably about a month ago, in a letter I wrote to Lindsey Graham, I was just making a veiled parody of Barack Obama's beer summit that he had and suggested that we have a birther summit. And when I put the article out, I got some calls and we started talking, and one of the folks I was talking to said, you know what, that might not be a bad idea, having a birther summit. Get all the people in the movement together. And the more we talked about it, the more we realized, well, getting the people together that are in the movement, the leaders that are in the movement together to talk about the issues and try to come up with some solutions to the issues, that's not what Washington listens to. If they're going to listen to anything, it's going to be a crowd of people in Washington demanding to be heard. And so we decided, well, we could combine the two events. We could get the leaders together and have the leaders work for a day to hammer through the different aspects that we've been faced with Barack Obama's illegal presidency. And this is one of the things that you helped with in putting together this plan for the working conference that we're going to have on the first day with the leaders. Of course, it's not going to be open to the public. It's going to be a self-contained event. And we are planning for the leaders to have a full day of work with four separate sessions. And the four separate sessions, I think, have been designed to cover the different aspects that we've been faced with in this debacle, and the first session being the historic definition of natural-born citizen and its national security ramifications. And I think in the national security ramifications, I think a lot of times that gets forgotten in the argument that, you know, is constantly going on in the internet and in public discourse, that, you know, the argument that natural-born citizen isn't defined in the Constitution. But what was clear was the concerns that the founders had for the security of, at that point, a newborn nation, and their vision for the future, how to keep the country safe and secure. And that is the purpose for the natural born citizen requirement. So that's the first session. Getting together as a group and saying, for this reason, because of the historic record, because of Supreme Court decisions in which, you know, maybe the issue of natural-born citizen wasn't the specific issue that the Supreme Court was looking at, but they have spoken historically as to the understanding, the national understanding of what natural-born citizen is. So that'll be our first session. The second session.
Let me interject there just for a second, or ask a question. You know, it has been an unbelievable journey, all of us, in writing about and learning what a natural-born citizen is.
Yeah.
And one of the things the opposition has, you know, has said, even people, quote-unquote, who are on our own friends or our own side, so to speak, are all saying it's unsettled law, unsettled law, unsettled law. Well, I have to disagree. I have to disagree because the work, as you know, of Leo D'Onofrio, of Mario Puzo, of Tale of the Birthers, of so many others, have basically laid out that Wong Kim Ark is not relevant as the 14th Amendment context discussion have all pointed out that there is no other definition, there is no other conclusion but being born in the country of parents who are citizens and owe no allegiance to a foreign country. So it comes to my view, and everyone says, well, the Supreme Court has denied it, so they're not going to listen to it, so the issue will never be resolved, and I feel it already is resolved.
Absolutely.
Absent any kind of Supreme Court decision, as far as I'm concerned, they blew their opportunity to redefine natural-born citizens. They blew it by being smug and arrogant about this. Right now, the only definition is the one that's historic, and how dare we, and what right do we have to, quote, reinterpret that in a policy document, in any other document besides a constitutional amendment and or a Supreme Court decision? Now, we know that Congress has been trying to change this requirement for a long time for both Republicans and Democrats. And at the same time, they're not going to be able to do it. They can't do it in Congress absent anything else. So in terms of that first session where we will produce the document, the working description, is that what you envision coming out here? Is basically this is it. There's no other definition. There is no legal uncertainty in this right now.
Yes. You know, what we are going to produce is actually going to be called our Declaration of Constitutional Dependence.
Mm-hmm.
And the first section of that declaration is going to be, this is, according to the Supreme Court of the United States, this is the definition of natural-born citizen. And not only that, the historical record bears that out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
Very
had,
good.
The typical obots that we encounter on the internet over at Bernard Goldberg's site. He did a little laughable piece about Obama, what a natural-born citizen is. And one of them actually, when we were discussing Minor versus Happersett, actually made the contention that because Minor versus Happersett was not dealing with presidential eligibility, that the statement they made about Virginia Minor being a natural-born citizen is irrelevant. It doesn't have anything to do with Article 2.
Unbelievable.
The point that I made was that, you know, that's ridiculous, that the framers did not set the framers set the requirement for the office. They didn't set the office for the requirement. The term natural-born citizen doesn't just apply to the office of the presidency, but it is a qualification that they did apply to that office.
Absolutely. And even, you know, when you look at Article 2, it was pretty clear. Either a natural-born citizen, a citizen at the time of this adoption of the Constitution, period. And
right.
what we've had is the OBOS, you know, looking at various phrases and using commas to separate this and separate that, but they've lost on this. And so the conclusion is basically going to be that there is no other interpretation. Now, earlier today across the email, as you saw, there's an idea of maybe having C-SPAN cover this, because it seems like, especially this first working session or group of sessions, is critical for Americans to hear. So we'll address that later on, but for now, please continue with the vision of the Birther Summit.
Okay, well, that'll take us to our, and it's a logical progression, because the next session will cover what we know Barack Obama has done to cover up the fact that he doesn't meet the first qualification. And so our second session will cover the crimes of fraud, forgery, treason, and misprision of felony, which, of course, you know, fraud, forgery, and treason well, fraud and forgery, at least, we know that the White House has been guilty of. Treason as well, but then I think you get into others who have been complicit in the cover-up, actually hands-on complicit in producing this cover-up. And then even if there are those in Congress that weren't a part of producing the cover-up, they know the cover-up took place. They know that there's been a forgery that has been foisted on the American public. And so they're all guilty of misprision of felony. So that will be the second session. The next third session will be what we encountered when we tried to push back against this assault on the Constitution in going to our state officials, the secretaries of state and the election boards. And so the third session will be state election laws and federal and state standards of verification. There has to be some standard that the states have for verifying who is eligible to run for president. And then, of course, the fourth session covers what we've been dealing with now for, well, more years than just since the campaign and election, because the media has been going far left for many years. But in this case specifically, the fact that the media has just run cover for Barack Obama the entire time and has kept this issue from the forefront of the watching public. You just don't hear anything about this. And if you do, occasionally, it's nothing but a joke. It's nothing but a matter for ridicule and mocking. And so, the fourth session deals with the complicit media and public education. How do we go about educating the public when the left-wing media will not tell the truth to the American people?
Exactly. Now, I'd like to just review those last three sessions a little bit more in detail, because they seem absolutely critical. And we'll take the would like to take the crimes of misprision of treason, felony, birth certificate forgery, and fraud. All of those are significant, and this is where I understand that the Birther Summit. Remember, just as background, we've got some great writers out there who have pieced together the fraud that occurred with Nancy Pelosi. I'm thinking of JBJD, for example, who really nailed that down, and others who have looked at the fraud in Hawaii. And so there are various stages of fraud that have been used to get Obama in. And there, you know, we have two actions. We have the actions of the usurper, and then we have the actions of everybody who aided and abetted him. And one question I want to ask in particular is the issue of treason. There are plenty of examples of treasonous activities of Barack Obama, but this begins to raise that question, as you said, is can you either impeach or can you accuse a usurper of treason, since there was no loyalty to the country in the first place? Isn't it more a crime of espionage or essentially, Obama and McCain basically, just as if they assassinated a president or kidnapped him, by refusing to, we didn't have anyone that we could choose. So what I'm saying in the broadest sense, is there going to be a sort of a specific teasing out of where treason applies and to whom, and where misprison of felony applies and to whom, versus misprison of treason? I think we've got several layers of corruption. And in that regard, is the Birther Summit going to name names?
Oh, absolutely. I think at this point, when we talk about misprision of treason, misprision of felony, and even treason, I think that the names might take, you know, the entire day to list, because, you know, we're, especially with misprision of felony, we're dealing with 535 members of Congress who, as they sit right now, are in so deep, and they're in so deeply in this, there's no way that any single member of Congress could stand up and voice opposition to the current administration, because any single member of Congress that does that will implicate all 535 members of Congress, because they know they did not do what they were constitutionally required to do, and that would have been in January of 2009 to stand up and object, because at that point it was apparent that he was not eligible, and we did our due diligence and we did our duty to notify every single one of them by hundreds and hundreds of letters. They knew he was not eligible. And I think at that point, political correctness fueled a lot of the silence, because it, you know, it was an unusual election, and someone who would have stood up, someone in Congress who would have stood up, would have immediately been labeled a racist.
Pretty significant blindness, and that would be the entire 111th Congress and the entire 112th Congress. And I this is like a game of chicken. They know that we know, but they refuse to acknowledge it en masse. And you're right. The one person who stands up and says something implicates the others. But, you know, I can't believe somebody like Ron Paul, for example, would be afraid of being laughed out of Congress for something like that.
Well, the question is this.
Yes.
Did Ron Paul stand up in January of 2009?
He did not.
Then is he not guilty of misprision of felony?
That's my feeling. All of them
right.
are.
Right.
Including all the presidential candidates right now who are senators and representatives. All of them. And they continue to go on and do this. And it's like, you know, what do they think we are, stupid? And this
yes,
is,
they do.
Yeah, well, this is the point where I feel like, and this is what I want to get into with you in a few minutes, is what's next for what we do? Do we just sit there and basically force them to do something? Who knows? So, all right, so state verification, that's extremely important. One of the things that I am going to undertake as a specific project myself is to go through every state legislation, or essentially every state's constitution and administrative procedures, and find out where the challenge points are to putting a name on the ballot or essentially fraudulently certifying somebody as qualified for the position. Of course, we're running into all kinds of problems here with that, just because we've got the federal government squeezing any state who has an eligibility issue. We've got secretaries of state, particularly in Arizona, who are going to say, we don't care who runs. A Muslim could run. We don't care who runs. I want to go after those people with fraud charges or various other pieces. So in terms of the session on state and federal verification, can you tease that out a little bit for us in terms of what you see happening in that particular working session?
Well, you know, let me even take it more specifically, because, you know, I've tried to be clear that, you know, at first when we started talking about this birther summit, there was some concern that we were maybe putting this out here as an option for something for people to do rather than the current actions that are taking place. And, you know, we've tried to be very clear that that is not the case. We are very supportive of everything going on. And when we're talking about the state issues, I want to make sure that everyone knows what's coming August 15th in Atlanta, Georgia, with HB 401B and what Carl Swenson's doing and Pixel Patriot. They're working very hard to make sure that their legislators in Georgia pass this legislation. And the legislation, I haven't read it, but I've had it read to me, and it's excellent. It puts a very, very strong duty of verification on the state before they put anyone on the presidential ballot. So anyone who's near Georgia, August 15th, I would highly recommend they want to have at least 1,000 people outside of the state house. And it's going to be an event.
You know, now this raises an issue that I've been concerned about for a while, and that is John Lewis, Representative John Lewis, who's brought the bacon home for Georgia like nobody's business. And I am sure he is working behind the scenes to either pull federal funding or to do something to prevent that Georgia legislation. Remember, Jarrett has said that if it's only one or two states, we'll be fine. We'll just hit him on the racist charge, you know, for this kind of legislation. So this is going to be very interesting. Any thoughts about Lewis or any other of the congressional delegation in Georgia and what they might do?
I have no idea. You know, I think Carl's ready for just about anything, but mm-hmm. he is going to walk in with HB 401B, and he is going to demand on behalf of all the people that are there that legislation be passed. It's way past time for all of the states to have that kind of legislation based on what has happened since the last presidential election.
Right, and it would just prove the point if the Obama administration sues any state based on this eligibility. It just proves the point. It also, on the eligibility, I think in the broadest sense, it's shown to all of us in a constitutional sense how much the balance of power between the federal government, the states, and the citizens has gone awry. And that when a state begins to move on eligibility verification, it also begins to see avenues like the 10th Amendment and other avenues where they must restore, states must restore their proper place in the scheme of this Constitution.
Well, and it's an absurdity, you know, just like we had with the Arizona illegal immigration
mm-hmm.
legislation. It's an absurdity that we have a requirement that the current administration will fight not to have to prove that someone is eligible.
Exactly. Okay, now, moving to the next session that we're going to have, which is the session on the media's complicitness, one of the things I've just, you know, obviously seen is the foreign ownership of our media has essentially allowed Obama to move forward. We've got Michelle, of course, saying, oh, yeah, the media is really on our side. And we've got this going on still to this day where no one is going to be talking about this issue. They have gone largely unpunished. Yes, we can turn off our TVs and eliminate cable and so forth and so on, but they've gone largely unpunished. I, for one, would like to see some very serious actions taken against the media or ideas set forth where something could be done. What do you foresee happening in that part of the Birther Summit?
Well, I think what needs to be discussed is, as Americans, supporting the areas of the media that actually are as they're supposed to be, unbiased, and actually report things in a nonpartisan manner. And I think to do that, we have to look. I mean, there's so many new forms of media, alternative forms of media, that are coming up in technology. And I think we need to support those alternative forms of media. And just like what has happened to the actual paper newspaper because of alternative forms of news, we need to support those kinds of things happening for all of our forms of media and start the shift away from this national media that is just a shill for the left-wing liberals of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And as there's a mass exodus away from that traditional media. They're either going to have to change their ways or they will just die out.
Well, you know, I think as well, I've been reading some stuff on this whole Mockingbird operation, which controls the media, sets up stories, sets up individuals, so forth and so on. And it appears to me that we've absolutely got to call that out and to name names and so forth. And not only to develop alternative sources of media, but, you know, really laying out in a chart form, I guess, or some kind of form, exactly how they have been able to do this. Kind of lost my train of thought there. I'm going to have to, like, recapture it. But let's talk a little bit more about the media and how you see this happening.
Well, I can see, you know, one of the issues that will be to our benefit is the issue of eligibility itself. We have palpably seen and felt how they have deliberately kept this issue from the country and using this issue and in our Declaration of Constitutional Dependence in stating all of the facts that are undeniable and challenging the national media to answer the question, why didn't you cover this? Why didn't you report? The media is supposed to be our safety net. when things go awry in this country, it has been the media that has uncovered that and been the catalyst for resolution and adjudication when there have been secret crimes committed. And we cannot count on our media to do that anymore.
No, so, and I think as well, since the 60s, late 60s and so forth, I think here's another piece of this, and it's much broader, is the media have in general painted conservatism as a mental illness.
Right.
And, you know, did they talk about the youth who were rioting in the 60s and 70s as a mental illness? No. They were, you know, fighting for, quote, noble things. But conservatives who are fighting for America are labeled by the media as essentially a lunatic fringe. And this has been going on for 30 years, in my view, to paint the conservatives, the true Americans, as a lunatic entity. Again, I think we need to call these out. And I think that if we're going to also lay out responsibility for this, the heads of these organizations need to be named. And, you know, we don't have the ability right now to have a charging document, but if there was a charging document, all of these people ought to be charged with misprision of felony, misprision of treason, et cetera, et cetera. So, and the whole context of this media manipulation.
I think as we're able to gain momentum,
mm-hmm.
that gives us more leverage. You know, the more we can draw attention, you know, I wrote an article recently, the last article that I wrote about the eligibility issue being our line in the sand. My whole reason for writing that article was not just proclaiming the same things we've been proclaiming to the choir for the last 2.5 years, but to reach out to people who might, you know, that don't necessarily consider themselves to be birthers. You know, they're the people that a lot of times you'll hear them say, yeah, he's probably ineligible, but nothing's going to be done about it. And I think what we need to do is just vote him out in the next election. My desire is to bring those people on board and understand that this issue has there's more to do with this issue than just the Barack Obama presidency. This is a constitutional issue. This is an issue of a corrupt political machine and a corrupt media. And if we can kind of bridge the gap to these people that are, you know, they're not necessarily against us as a group. They just don't identify themselves as being part of the group. I think those people are the kinds of folks that can identify with, you know, the general assault that's been taking place on the Constitution, the general corruption of our politicians and our political machine, and the complicity of the media. And so if we can draw them in to at least support what we're doing and witness what we're doing as we've drawn this line in the sand, we're drawing the line in the sand not only to rectify this illegal presidency, we're drawing this line in the sand to tell the members of Congress, we're not going to put up with this anymore. You've gone too far, and that's it. We are reclaiming the power of we the people. You are accountable to us. And so that's what I'm hoping we can branch out to with this Birther Summit, that it encompasses more than just removing Barack Obama from the office of president, which, you know, those of us within the birther bubble, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're working for, and that's what we're going to do. But it is far more significant for the history and the survival of this nation that we be successful in what we're doing to out what Congress is doing, what the media has done in regards to Barack Obama's ineligibility. It's just a symptom of a far more sinister level of disease in our country,
which is going to take a long time to rectify. What kind of responses have you gotten from Tea Party leadership?
I am, you know, we're just, it's amazing in probably less than 4 weeks now, just the onslaught of communication we're getting from people. And we've heard from a number of Tea Party people. So far, I think our approach with this is basically going to be a grassroots approach, even in the Tea Party. I just noticed this afternoon, I was watching the traffic to the website, and I can see when new websites post information about the Birther Summit. And late this afternoon, out of nowhere, I noticed that the Phoenix, Arizona Tea Party posted the Birther Summit banner in the top left corner of their website.
Excellent.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the more word gets out, the more individual Tea Party chapters are going to be a part of this movement.
Because when people see that it's the Constitution that's at stake, and, you know, that we're fighting for the very same things about accountability and spending and getting our government back in control and back to a constitution, constitutional governance, I think that's going to attract many, many, many people. So now, what we have basically is really the definition, the historic meaning of natural-born citizen and its relationship to the national security of our country. We have a session on of what crimes have been committed, essentially, in order to get Obama to where he is and who has committed those crimes. We have a session on what the states are going to be doing, state and federal eligibility legislation, as well as other activities, and the media, the last part of the workshop, media and public education. So that, I understand, is pretty much the first day of the Birther Summit. What products do you – I know you mentioned a declaration of constitutional dependence, but tell us what product, what that looks like to the best that you can, but what product do you expect out of the first session? Product or product?
I don't know if I follow the question.
I guess you're saying that there will be a declaration of constitutional dependence produced at the end of the day,
right?
Or produced as part of the summit.
Well, actually, the plan at this point is we will have, we'll be working on this over the next 8 months, but we'll have a tentative, at least basic outline for that declaration, which we will be hammering out that day and formalize that day. And we're actually going to have it so that it can be printed out and the participants of that day will sign that document. So, you know, we will do it just like the Declaration of Independence. It will be signed by those who were responsible for putting it together.
Very good. Okay. That sounds extremely exciting, and I know I'm going to do everything I can to get the Birther Summit listed and described and so forth on my blog. And we understand, basically, that's just one day of a three-day event. So what do you see for the rest of the time, Dean?
The next day we'll begin with a morning rally that will take the whole morning. There will be several speakers. It'll be in the National Mall, and there will be a huge stage set up, and we will have several speakers. There are a lot of things that I'm working on right now. Some things I can't actually say because I'm in discussions with some people, but we want it to be a very exciting event with the folks that people have been reading about for 3 years, the articles that people have been reading, to actually get a chance to hear those people speak in person and, you know, be there with those personalities that they've basically gotten to know over the last 3 years just on the internet, have an opportunity to be there in person with them. And there are other kind of presentations that we're trying to put together. It'll be a very exciting event that will take place that morning. And then that afternoon, we will then proceed to march in Washington. We'll march from the rally site down to the Capitol and back. Whether or not we can get the regular media to cover it, I have no idea, but we will make sure it's covered so that America gets to see, hopefully, the tens of thousands of people that have gone to finally be heard on this issue. I think all of us would agree that or so many of us have tried to be heard now for almost 3 years, and we have not been heard at all, and this is going to be our opportunity to finally be heard. And the only way we're going to be heard is to have a large enough crowd there for Washington to take notice. So there has to be tens of thousands of people there for Washington to realize that maybe there's more people upset about this than we thought.
Excellent.
And then the third day will be an optional day. You know, I know everyone can't stay, but for those that can, we want to break up into several teams and have that Declaration of Constitutional Independence and make sure that every Congress member's office gets visited with that declaration.
Excellent, excellent. And all the accompanying materials, which, you know, we don't need
all of the evidence that people can print out, sure.
They'll all be listed, yes. Yes. Okay, now, to me, looking at this event as an event organizer, I'm betting you need a minimum of $250,000 to pull this off.
Well,
what
we've actually come up with is that's not even close.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought. we're probably talking about $1 million Birther Summit.
Closer to $1 million, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, if we could have a million people contribute a dollar to this event, it would just be unbelievable. But I think there won't be any fees to attend and so forth, so people, as long as they can get there, will be attending. I assume you'll be working on hotels and various other logistics. Of course, as I'm saying, I'm assuming you understand that I'm going to help you as well. I'm just not going to interview you and say how much money you need. But all of those things, I understand, are going to be prepared. Do you have also in mind a security plan and
absolutely.
A way
we're
to
dealing
involve
with,
our veterans?
We're dealing with a company in D.C. that handles cover-to-cover events like this. that, you know, through them, they will provide all the barricades, the security, the portable restrooms. They will set the venue up. You know, they handle everything for you, and we're dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
They know they will get all of the permitting, the insurance, everything that we need.
Mm-hmm. Are there any things, any benefits we can do to raise money for this event?
We haven't gotten that far. We're just now finishing up on the business plan so that we would know what we need. We're now getting into that the next phase of our strategy. We had to develop the business plan. I mean, of course, we are going to be targeting behind the scenes some individuals that we believe might be able to provide us some financial help. And would have an ideological reason to want to provide us that help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are just so many aspects and dynamics of this thing that, you know, it's basically overwhelming. That we're trying to take it a day at a time, and every day it seems that is a new day of strategy planning.
Yeah, you know, Dean, in thinking about that and in thinking about where the dollars are, and I'm thinking of American business, and in particular in the Gulf of Mexico and the destruction of the resources, but also the prevention of American, the administration prevented American companies from and individuals from helping clean up the mess or helping even prevent it. And it occurs to me that, you know, we can talk about misprision of felony. We can talk about all of these aspects of the crimes that have been committed. But one thing and this is my bias as a natural resource manager, is I think that part of those crimes of treason and destruction of our country have to do with the failure of this administration to respond to crises. And as I'm finding out right now, the intentional flooding of the Midwest. I'm in the midst of doing a report that I would be calling Forensic Hydrology of the Floods of 2011 in the Midwest, and I can tell you exactly what happened. I won't hear, but it strikes me that if we could make some connection, for example, with some of those businessmen, oil companies and so forth that suffered and have suffered, energy companies have suffered as a result of this unconstitutional rogue administration, is there a way that we could capture some of the funding from these folks?
Oh, absolutely. We'd be very appreciative of anyone that has any inside connections with those kinds of people to make introductions.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems like, you know, I don't know, there should be a business roundtable. I really believe that maybe what we do is we alert businesses to this and why it is important for businesses to get behind this issue. Maybe that's a way that we can begin to grab some interest, because once these businesses find out what has been done in the Birther Summit and what is at stake, I can't imagine they wouldn't fight like heck for our country.
Right, right.
So also, I assume we're going to have a entertainment, so forth and so on. Hopefully Lloyd Marcus will join us. That would be fun to have him be singing for and with us there.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of Lloyd. I haven't gotten him to respond yet.
Mhm. Okay, so this is going to be March. Tell me why it's a year. There's everybody saying right now we should be in the streets right now, we should be doing stuff right now. Why, in addition to the obvious issue of, you know, needing lead time to plan a big event, why March?
Well, basically that is the big consideration, just the amount of time that it takes to put an event like this together. You can't just throw it together. If you throw something together, it's not going to be anything that is going to make any kind of impact. But then also, you know, that gets us into the winter months, and so by going to the end of March, you know, we felt like it would probably be fairly safe weather-wise to go at the toward the end of March. And the fact is that we believe that the lead up, the building lead up to the Birther Summit itself in March is going to be just as important as the event itself, because with our plans that we have with the marketing we want to do, it's going to be hopefully more and more and more in the face of all Americans as we're leading up to this event, and a constant reminder to our officials in Washington that this event is coming.
I'm excited about this. Let me just check in on my chat room here. Okay, so I can see this happening. I can see it building. I can see the need to get the word out and to make as many linkages as possible. And frankly, I have in my mind, like the first 9/12 march in D.C. in 2009, I can see a couple million people there if
sure.
we do our work properly. And I can see thousands of people staying and going and visiting these congressional delegations every day for the following month until this is done, a sort of rotating, consistent pressure where you have a meeting with these guys every single day until they get going on their issues. So I think that's a pretty good vision. In your best, wildest, most positive dreams, what do you see happening? How do you see it?
Well, I would hope my best possible dreams is that while we're building the momentum for this event, that it puts the issue enough in the public's thinking and understanding about what has happened, that I would love to see that just the pressure of this, along with the other actions that are taking place, I would love to see him removed from office before we ever made it to March. And
that would be great.
If that were the case, then we still would have a Birther Summit, because we would have plenty of work that still needs to be done. Those four issues, those four sessions that we talked about, they're still relevant. But instead of having him removed from office, the working sessions would be geared then toward how do we get a constitutional amendment that specifically defines natural-born citizen as born on the soil to citizen parents. So that this never happens again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for a constitutional amendment to define that. Interesting. Are there other outcomes? Because, you know, I get nervous with constitutional amendments just because others may use it as an opportunity to dump the Constitution. Are there other options? I know you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I think that this discussion has happened with some of us here recently. You know, what happens if we can get him removed before the summit? And I think the consensus so far has been we work toward that amendment that specifically defines natural-born citizen.
Okay. Well, that's going to require a lot of work with people like me who get nervous about that. I can see the reason why, but also from my reading of the history, there's no need to define it. It's defined. And, you know, I think others have wanted a SCOTUS decision. I don't think I want one right now because I think they'll undermine the definition. But if that works, I'm all for it.
Yeah, we do have the Supreme Court decision of Minor versus Happersett, and we do have an understanding of what the historical definition of natural-born citizen was, or the understanding at that time. But it would be helpful to have something in the highest law of the land that says this is the definition of natural-born citizen, based on the Supreme Court decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to discuss this more because it seems then that there would need to be a constitutional. Nope, I'm wrong on that. So we'll just leave it that way, straightforward. So this you've given me lots to think about for sure. So in this sounds like a great idea. Again, did you have a dream here, or did you just all of a sudden say, look, I'm sick of this, that's it?
Well, like I said, it just kind of happened out of that letter I wrote to Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where the inspiration came from for using the term birther summit, because I was thinking of, making veiled parody of the beer summit. But I think once that term was phrased, it became an obvious hook phrase that we thought, there's something that can be latched onto. You know, there's been a lot of discussion that has happened over the last few weeks with people, expressing concern over the name birther. And, we've tried to explain our decision for using that term, the fact that it's when you embrace a pejorative, you kind of remove the venom from it. And since we were labeled as birthers, to embrace that and just put it back into the OBOT's faces. But there's been another, if nothing else, a very pragmatic reason in hindsight that it was a great idea to use the name Birther Summit and not go with one of the other, terms that could be considered less controversial, and that is, if you go to Google and Google Birther Summit, we already own the first several pages, that everything on Google is either from us or about us, good and bad, but we still own the Google search of Birther Summit. And if it had been Eligibility Summit, that name then becomes very ambiguous. Because then you start getting into other things like eligible for Medicare and medical insurance,
right,
and different forms of different things of eligibility. Birther Summit is the most unambiguous term we could use. It immediately identifies what we're doing, and we already own the Google search term.
Excellent. Very good. I bet all the search engine optimizer CEOs would just be so jealous. But that is really, that's important, because regardless of the what people think about it, just about everybody in the United States knows what a birther is,
Right.
Maybe knows what the subject is, maybe doesn't know exactly who we are and so forth. Now, there will always be the infiltrators, the OBOTs. We've had a couple of them show up tonight on the on the show. Hang on one second here. I've got to kick somebody out as we speak. excuse me, I got a little distracted there. So what about, we can't prevent, I guess this is what I get concerned about. If we get to that point, the Birther Summit, and Obama is still not gone, but it's close, we can anticipate there will be trouble in the march and people trying to get into the working sessions. I assume that you have a plan to have security address that.
Right. No one will know where the working session is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
That will be
mm-hmm.
a self-contained morning
private
to night
session.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will know the location of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the next day with the rally in March, there will be ample security.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is there a specific effort to bring our veterans into this?
I haven't even thought about that, but that's a great idea.
Of all the most anguished comments on my blog and that I've seen, it's from the vets who cannot believe this has happened to our country. and want to do anything. I had an 86-year-old vet comment on my blog and saying, I'm standing right there with you. Let me know what I need to do. I think this is a huge opportunity to bring our servicemen and women forward so they understand what we're doing. I mean, there's not a moment that goes by when I don't think about this issue, eligibility, and the millions of men and women that have died for us in protecting our country. So I think this would be a wonderful, you know, I know you have lots of military folks in the initial planning here, but maybe they could be tapped.
Yeah, I think so.
I know people are going to want to do something.
The Terry Lakin Action Fund is providing us a lot of technical and operational support in this.
Excellent. He's
a
hero.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't even thought of, but it's a great idea.
What about, for example, as part of a march, that there would be a march on the Pentagon? Or that as part of the, I know, can we do that without getting blown to bits? or maybe as part of the third day, when we go and visit select individuals, maybe our vets can be tasked with going to visit the military and talking
sure.
with them.
Sure. That's a great idea.
Great. Okay. Wonderful. I love our vets. You know, I just didn't get it at that time when I could have signed up too. But after all, I'm recovering from being a Democrat most of my life. And, no,
hopefully
which
that's
I don't
not
really
too long of a process.
It really is. So, all right now, any last closing thoughts, Dean? We've had a great evening this evening. We've got about 10 minutes left or so. There are no callers. Let me put a note out there to anyone who has a question for Dean.
Well, I want to make sure that everyone knows how to get to us, and it's just go to birthersummit.org.
I'm putting that in right now.
I realized I hadn't even given the website.
There we go. birthersummit.org. Go there and you'll find out all the stuff. Also, let's start contributing to this. You know, Dean, I've been a major fundraiser in my life. I've raised more than $10 million for my clients. So please be sure to let me assist in whatever way I can.
You can count on it.
Yeah. really. So, okay. Any last thoughts you have, things that we can do to move this forward, activities or thoughts or articles you might need?
Getting the word out is crucial right now, but one of the things we're going to work on immediately is the game plan for putting together our ground troops. There's a need. We've talked about actually going using volunteer coordinators to cover all 3,000 counties. Where we will have our initial idea at this point is 6 regional national coordinators. And those national coordinators would then be responsible for the states in each of their 6 regions. The state coordinators would then concentrate on getting someone in every one of the counties in their state. For those county people to be getting the word to all of the people in their counties, and it's going to be run basically like a political campaign.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, if everyone out there, keep your eyes out. If you'd like to volunteer for that, drop a note into the birthersummit.org and sign up to help out. And I believe this is correct, and if you get down at the county level, that's music to my ears, because we've got to get people involved, and we will find those vets and those older people ready to go. I'm right now taking care of my mom, and
yeah.
She's in a retirement community, and you cannot believe not only the American flags that are everywhere, but the concern of these older individuals as to what has happened to our country. And the despair that many of them feel for not having the energy to help and not having the physical capability to help, you know. And so there are a lot of people right next door to me who are very interested in the summit. And, Dean, I want to thank you so much for the leadership, inspiration, and the movement forward in your articulate voice. And I look forward very much to working with you. And really want to thank you for
yeah, I just want to ask everyone when they go to birthersummit.org to sign up for the email list so they'll be kept apprised of everything we're doing. And then those who can, if you want to give a little bit, there's a PayPal thing. Well, as we get this thing up and we're looking for financial support, every little bit that we get right now will help in that effort.
Thank you very much, Dean. Any other last comments, wishes, a good joke, anything to send us off for the evening?
You know, my mind has just been so flooded with doing this every day. It's from when I get up in the morning to late at night, every single day. It's just been inundated, and my whole focus right now is a successful event that will put an end to this constitutional crisis.
That are my hopes, too. You have my hopes and prayers and my shoulders to the wheel. I want to thank you very much for coming on this evening. Any questions out there for Dean in the chat room? Everyone is saying yay for Terry Lake and Action Fund. He is our hero, as you
yes,
probably
he is.
Know. Yes, yep. He is. So, Dean, thank you very much. I look forward to having you on again. And, by the way, anytime you want to come on, have an announcement, you want to make, you are welcome to pop in here anytime.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Dean, very much. Good night and good luck.
Talk to you next time.
Okay, great.
All right. Bye.
And everyone here this evening, thank you so much for joining me. And Dean, and join us if you can in the Birther Summit. It's going to be an amazing event. Yours truly will be participating. I'm just trying to catch up here, get everything on the website. So with that, I'm going to say good night to all. I'm playing Amazing Grace, done for the movie Endless War, and I wish you that grace, and God bless you all. Good night.